Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Smith. You can follow me at DuncanSmithNBA, and you can find my work on PistonPowered.com. We're going to get started with some news, and the news is that we have no update on Chauncey Billups' decision to accept a five-year offer from the Cleveland Cavaliers to be their president of basketball operations. He reportedly, according to a colleague, Brian Windhorst of ESPN, he's somewhat reluctant to uproot his family and move them to Cleveland. And he's most likely weighing some of the pros and cons of working for Dan Gilbert, knowing the way that executives, primarily general managers and presidents of basketball operations, have fared and have been treated over the years. He's highly sought after by Gilbert. He's close with LeBron on all accounts. So it's my general philosophy on this is Chauncey Billups is one day going to make a great general manager or president of basketball operations. This would just be a really tough first gig for a new guy to that side of the basketball world. Whether he chooses to take this one or not, I think he's going to do a fantastic job. It's just going to be really tough for this to be the one for him to get his feet wet. So we're going to hit the Reddit and Twitter mailbag. I opened it up to both sides, and I got plenty of questions, to say the least. So we'll probably split this up over two podcasts this week. We'll get to that right after a quick word about our sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is an app that you can download to your phone. It is a ticket aggregator that sorts through the best prices of sporting events, concerts, shows. It breaks down very simply and very clearly for you where your best values are in a given section, a given area in a stadium. And in the stadium itself, it's got a deal score feature that shows you what the best deals are by value, and it makes it very easy and very time efficient to make sure that you're not getting ripped off by anybody trying to pawn off a $9,999 upper deck ticket to some baseball game between two last place teams. It happens, and while this is an extreme example, this will very clearly lay out where your best and where your worst values are, so you won't get taken advantage of. To use SeatGeek and let them know that you came from us, go to the settings tab, enter the coupon code LOPISTONS. You'll save $20 off your first purchase. So, to the mailbag. From the Reddit side of things, via Halbridius, he asks, are there any rumblings about Darren Hilliard's future? Any chatter from the Pistons about Henry Ellenson or Michael Obinije? Just in terms of what they're doing, going to do in the summer, what expectations are for Summer League. As for Hilliard, the Pistons have been pretty quiet about things. It sounds like he's not going to be playing in Summer League, in spite of the fact that this is his third year in the league. And he missed Summer League last year after suffering a stress fracture in the summer leading up to the beginning of July. The Pistons do have an important date on Hilliard's guarantee coming up. June 30th is when his contract, his $1.475, I believe, million-dollar contract, becomes fully guaranteed. So they have until June 30th to waive him if they want to save that almost $1.5 million. Again, we have no announcement from the Pistons as to whether that's going to be the case or whether they're going to to pay up and keep him around. But the fact that they're not going to send him to Summer League is neither really an indictment on his future. It's not an indicator really either way. I think he might feel a little bit more secure though if he knew that the Pistons were planning on him going to Summer League. As for Ellinson and Benajay, Henry Ellinson is, I would say, a lock to play Summer League. I have not heard anything about Benajay specifically, but even if the Pistons decide to release him before his guarantee date, that isn't until July 15th, and they would save less than $1 million if they were to waive him, so he might be somebody they just keep around. It would also make sense to send him to Summer League because he played one game last year before spraining his ankle. I think in a, forget if it was late in the first game or if it was in a practice before the second game, but he only played one game, and that opened the door for Lorenzo Brown to put on a nice little Summer League show, and it got us all excited about the possibility of him taking over the third point guard role, which never really ended up being in the cards for Lorenzo last year. So, other than Ellinson being pretty much a lock to play in the Summer League, there's not really anything news-wise. I think probably in the next day or so, they're going to be stocking up on undrafted free agents and free agents that came in for tryouts, primarily around the time of the free agent minicamp that they put on early this month. So I think we're probably going to see some familiar faces, probably some names that we saw last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Lorenzo Brown, unless some other team has him, it gets to him or gives him some sort of a contract throughout the summer. I wouldn't be surprised to see Lorenzo Brown, maybe even Ray McCallum, some familiar faces from last season. We'll go on to the next question here from Remy LeBeau. What will Lure's role this year be for the team? Do you see Henry Ellinson taking his spot? I would actually like to see Lure stay starting at the four, and I would like to see Tobias Harris replace Marcus Morris in a starting lineup at the three. I don't think that that's something that Van Gundy is likely to do. I think that he prefers Tobias to be a four only. But I think that a big lineup like that might actually be what this team could use. Lure could be the fifth option on offense, which I don't think he really was when he was in the starting lineup. He flourished off the bench last year, and I think that his utility would actually be somewhat similar to when he played off the bench last season if he was in this bigger starting lineup of Reggie Jackson, KCP, Tobias Harris, Lure, and Andre Drummond. So I think that would be my ideal role for him this year, but I think we're going to have to see what Van Gundy decides to do with him. I don't really have any indication going forward which way he's going to go, if he wants to just run back the same starting lineup that closed the year last year, the competitive portion of the season at least. I would really hope that that starting lineup does get shaken up though, because it simply wasn't a functioning unit. As for Henry Ellinson taking his spot, I think in a perfect world that would be the optimal end game here. But we really haven't seen that much from Ellinson that shows that he's ready for that kind of a role. He's got some real proving to do, I think, before Henry Ellinson is going to be either the starting power forward or the first big off the bench for the Detroit Pistons. From ACAT114, do you think we see any backup minutes at center for Henry Ellinson? Maybe. I wouldn't rule it out. I think that, especially considering the fact that Stan Van Gundy doesn't have a whole lot of faith in Boban Marjanovic, I think that backup center minutes might be a spot that Henry Ellinson can sort of make a mark. Again, I see him as very unproven, and I don't think that Van Gundy sees him much differently from that. But if he's able to prove that he deserves minutes on the floor at all, I think that backup center minutes might make a lot of sense. Particularly if the Pistons decide, and I hope to God they don't, if the Pistons decide that Tobias Harris is going to be coming off the bench again. Again, I think that that's one of the most critical mistakes they made last season. So hopefully they adjust going forward. From Twitter here, we've got Shamik Mohile at Sham God on Twitter. You should follow him, by the way. He writes for Piston Powered. So we have each other's ear quite often. He asks, which of Stan Van Gundy's first-round draft picks, Stanley Johnson, Ellenson, Luke Kennard, will have the best career? And which one is the most expendable? I think that simply because Stanley Johnson is a somewhat tarnished asset, we know that he's got offensive issues. Sure, he can defend, but his offense, to some degree, really kept him off the floor last season. We don't really know how much that's going to develop this offseason. But what we've seen, it's concerning. I think everybody would agree that it's pretty concerning. Henry Ellenson also is an unproven commodity. He was drafted to be sort of a stretch four kind of big man. He's a project. He was drafted for this, but he really wasn't a good shooter in college, which is somewhat concerning. And then Luke Kennard, who projects to be an excellent shooter. He's good at the ball in his hands, so he has some additional utility beyond simply being a knockdown spot-up shooter when he's open. I think Kennard might have the most utility and the highest ceiling of these three. So off the top of my head, I'm going to say that Luke Kennard is probably going to have the best career. I'd say he's the favorite right now. Part of that is due to the mystery box factor here. There's more unknown about him. We haven't had the opportunity to really tarnish the way we see him. So simply because of the potential upside, I think Kennard is probably the favorite to have the best career. As for the one that is the most expendable, I mean, Henry Ellenson is probably the most expendable. He was a long-term project that has not really shown that he's NBA ready, other than a couple nice games at the end of the season. Whether that's his fault for simply not being NBA ready, an NBA caliber player, or if it's Stan Van Gundy's fault for utilizing him and developing him poorly, that remains to be seen. But I think of the three, Henry Ellenson is probably the most expendable. Somewhat related to the previous question, we've got Ben Quagliata at QuagSport. He asks, what year will Luke Kennard's jersey get retired? Judging by the rate that the Pistons have been retiring jerseys, I would say probably by 2031, Luke Kennard's jersey will be retired, and the Pistons will have a 23 in the Raptors. Luke Walthus, also from Piston Powered, at Walthus Luke. What are you expecting lineup-wise, especially in the second unit at the start of the season? My dream scenario lineup-wise would be Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tobias Harris, John Luehr, and Andre Drummond. I think that would be the starting lineup. For the bench mob, which I think could really be swapped in, basically, as a unit, or play the majority of their minutes as a unit, I'd like to see Ish Smith, Luke Kennard, Stanley Johnson, Marcus Morris, and Boban. I think that Henry Ellenson could sub in for as a third power forward or as a third center, basically. I think that he could be sort of the 11th man, at least to start the season. Again, I think that we're going to have to see some further development before he gets any kind of guaranteed or expectation of extra minutes. Jay Gala, at jgala0317 on Twitter, asks, what's a reasonable assessment of how Luke Kennard could be this year? KCP backup / 7/8 man in? I think that's pretty reasonable. I think that the majority of his minutes, especially right off the bat, are going to be at the 2. While there might be some configurations down the road where he plays some one in relief of either Ish Smith or Reggie Jackson, I don't think that's going to come in, you know, say the first month or two of the season. I think primarily he's going to be the backup two guard behind KCP, and after whoever the first wing or big off the bench and Ish Smith is, he'll probably be the next man. So whether my dream lineup of Tobias Harris, John Luehr, and Andre Drummond up front takes place, or some other variation, you know, you'll have either Tobias, John Luehr, or Ish Smith probably being the first one in, whichever of Tobias or John Luehr is either not starting or not first in would be the second one in, and then Kennard would probably be the third one in there, and then Stanley Johnson would likely swap in and out dependent on rotations and rest, fouls, matchups, etc., etc. So I think it'd be something like that, somewhere between 7 and 9, and primary backup 2. That'll also allow Stanley Johnson to play what I think most people agree in a perfect world is his preferred position, which would be backup 3 primarily. Final question from Dustin Shandoval. He's at D_SCHAND_Y24. Most straightforward question for you. Will the Pistons make the playoffs this year? If yes, why? If no, why not? Well, I think it all comes down to Reggie Jackson's knee. If that knee is fine and we get the Reggie Jackson of 2 years ago, this is a playoff team. I still maintain that with the kind of surge that the Pistons went on over the final 26 games of the 2015-16 season after trading for Tobias Harris, in spite of having a bad bench, in spite of having some injury issues with Stanley Johnson and Anthony Tolliver and KCP towards the end of 15-16, and then all the bench upgrades, you know, whether you like John Luehr or not, he filled a role, and you know, if he could ever get those threes to fall, that's a very vital role that he was brought in to fill that simply wasn't there the season before. Ish Smith is a head and shoulders upgrade with the way he functions on this team over Steve Blake. This team simply should be better than the team of 2 years ago, if they're healthy. And while I'm not going to die on the 50 wins hill that I was prepared to die on last year, I still think that mid to high 40s is a possibility for this team if healthy. So, you know, it all hinges on Reggie Jackson's knee. If his knee isn't good, this isn't going to be a playoff team. We're going to probably have a very similar situation to last year where the wheels just kind of fall off because the things that need to be working for this team to win simply aren't there. They're very reliant on a dynamic point guard, and you know, Ish Smith doesn't have the shooting to do it. You know, bless his heart, but you know, this team needs Reggie Jackson or somebody like that to sort of drive the engine, really. That'll be it for the questions today. We've saved a bunch for future podcasts, whether it be tomorrow or Wednesday. We'll probably have a quick free agent primer to brush everybody up on what we can expect from the Pistons in free agency. Spoiler, it's not a whole lot, but they do have the ability to maybe plug a few holes or upgrade on some spots using some various exceptions to the salary cap. So we'll get into that later this week as well. Free agency begins this weekend. And with that, that's all I've got for you today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.